them or bear flowers. So if a plant does these things better, so we say it's a more perfect. For example, if you have two rose flowers, one of them gives every day few roses, another one every month gives one rose. So the first one is more perfect. Or one of them gives rose but has no fragrance. Around very good fragrance. So we say this is more perfect. Okay? So we don't expect from a flower, in order to be more perfect, to do something, you know, that we expect from a human being or from an animal. Yeah? We don't expect from a, for example, rose, which is more perfect, to do charity work or to do community work. Yeah? We expect from a plant something which is suitable and expected from a plant. When it comes to an animal, what is perfection? For example, for a cow, what is perfection? Something that we expect from a cow. For example, if it's an ox that we use for farming, to do it better. For example, to be able to work for longer hours, yeah? Or for example, if it is a cow that you grow for milk, to give more milk, this is the perfection, yeah? You never expect from a cow, for example, to do something like, you know, for example, peacekeeping. You want to use this for reconciliation. Cow is cow. But when it comes to human beings, perfection should be different. If a human being says, I am more perfect, why? Because I can, for example, do more physical activities than other human beings. Then this reminds us of the example of cow. We were saying that an ox is better if it can work longer. Yeah? Or if we have an elephant, if this elephant can lift heavier, you know, weights, this is more perfect. So now if you have a human being who says, I am better because I can, you know, lift heavier weights, you say, sorry, this is not what we expect from a human being. This is not perfection. If you are stronger in your body, but you are not a better human being. Yeah? This is very important. You know this story that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. So a group of people who were lifting heavy items like rocks. And of course Rasulullah was happy that people do physical exercise. It's good to do physical exercise. But this doesn't make a person better. He said, as far as I remember, the text of the hadith is أَشْجَعُ النَّاسِ مَنْ غَلَبَ هَوَاهُ. You cannot say who is better or who has more bravery by looking at what the hands or feet are doing. Who is lifting heavier weight? A human being is stronger if he can resist against his temptations. And he can overcome his lower desires. أَشْجَعُ النَّاسِ مَنْ غَلَبَ هَوَاهُ. So, perfection for a human being should be in something which cannot be found in plants or animals. Something which is human. What is a human? This is a question. Whenever you are asked about a type of being, what is it that makes it distinct? What is it that makes its identity? You should not look for commonalities, what it shares with other beings. You should work for something which is exclusive. If I ask you, what is human, you should not answer by saying things that human beings share with animals or plants or non-living beings. You should say something which can only be found in human beings. Okay? So what is human perfection? Perfection of a human being in something that you cannot find in animals or plants or living beings. And that is in rationality. That is in virtues. Nothing else. Nothing common between us and animals. Okay? If someone wants to have a human life, this is a very good argument in some of my courses, whether it's Aqaid or Akhlaq. When I come here, I expand here more and I mention this as a good argument to use for children, for people who are new to religion, for people who are not very interested in religious arguments. So this is a good approach. To say, okay, if I say you should be muttaqi, you should be pious, you should be religious, maybe this person says, no, I don't want to. Why? Okay, so sometimes it takes time to establish that first you should be religious and then know what religiousness or religiosity requires. But I don't think anyone says, I don't want to be a human being. Humanity is something that nobody is compromising about. Yeah? People can say, for example, out of humbleness or to hide from other people, they can say, for example, I am very poor. He might be a millionaire or billionaire, but he might say, I am a poor person. Either because he's very humble or he doesn't want people to know. People might be very knowledgeable, but he says, I am a student, either because of humbleness, or he's pretending that he's humble. But humanity is something that people don't compromise, you know. No one says, out of humbleness, I'm an animal, I'm a dog, or I'm a cow. Right? This is something that no one even compromises. Because even humbleness is the quality of a human being. So if you want to be humble, you have to be first a human being. And it's very interesting that in the same way that we don't compromise about humanity, we don't compromise about our atom. No one would say, my atom is, not working. I am a mad person. I cannot understand. If you look at every person, whether they say it or not, when it comes to Abel, they think they are perfect. If you look at every person, he thinks that he understands in a perfect way. No one would say, no, I don't understand, other people understand better. Actually, part of our problem in social life is that everyone thinks that he understands better than other people, therefore, we have problems. So, when it comes to rationality or to aql, no one is showing any sign of compromise. When it comes to humanity, no one is going to compromise, because this is very, very important. This is part of our essence. This is part of our identity. You know, I can compromise about things which are accidental to my being, to my essence. But if I compromise about my essence, it means that I am destroying myself. Humanity for us is very important. If we lose that, nothing is left from us. Yeah, if my angle is gone, nothing is left from me, even if I have a big body. And I eat and drink more than any other people. I can walk thousands of miles. But if my angle is not there, nothing is left from me.
Okay, this is a very important point.
So what makes everything what it is that aspect or those aspects of that being which are exclusive to that being. They are not shared by other beings. Inshallah, when you study philosophy, you come to this rule. Muslim philosophers have this rule that they say, حقيقة كل شيء بفصله الأخير. The reality of everything is made by its very last differential. In logic, you are studying what is differential, what is genus, yeah? So, sometimes you have a hierarchy of differential. For example, we have one differential that makes us different from non-living beings. We have another differential which makes us different from living beings, which are plants. We have another differential which makes us different from other animals. Okay? Which one is the most important one? The last one. Which one is making me a human being? The differential that cannot be found in other animals or in living beings or non-living beings. Okay? So the last differential, fast for the akhir, is the most important. Inshallah, you will study this more in philosophy. So, what is human life? We want to have human life. What is human life? The life which is spent at the service of what is available only in human beings. So, for example, when it comes to desires, those desires that are shared by us and animals, if we dedicate our life to those desires, so this is not human life. Because the desires are shared. For example, desire for delicious food. Desire for having, you know, comfortable, you know, I don't know, accommodation. If my life is dedicated to meeting these needs and satisfying these desires, my life is not human life. Okay? But if my life is dedicated to a desire or a group of desires which are only applicable in human beings, then my life becomes human life. Like, for example, the desire for knowledge. If you dedicate your life to learning, teaching, this is human. Or for example, you want to help people, to be kind, to show love and mercy, this is human. Or for example, beauty, this is human. So this is a very good argument if you want to encourage someone to be moral, to be virtuous, not to waste his time or her time in, you know, just doing ordinary things or na'uzubillah, immoral things. Say, do you want to have a human life? Okay, let us find what is human. Are you really serving your humanity or you are growing your animal side? Okay? Sometimes I use this example. I say, if for example, you have a small garden in your house, and you think, I should have a tree, a fruit tree here. Say, okay, let us have, for example, an apple tree. You want to have an apple tree in our garden. Okay, you go to a supplier, they sell saplings, to say, you know, I want something for apple tree. He tells you an apple tree, he has studied, you know, some logic, but not properly. So he says an apple tree has different characteristics. An apple tree in the first place is a material which occupies three, you know, a space and has three dimensions. An apple tree is a piece of wood. An apple tree, I don't know, grows leaves, has provided you with shadow, and also gives you apple. I have something that does 90% of what you want in an apple tree. All this just doesn't give you fruit. So you are 90% successful if you have that tree which doesn't bear fruit. I said, no, I'm not 90%, sir. I'm 100% unsuccessful. Why? Because the whole point was to have apple fruit, and I want apple. I don't want any tree or any wood or any, you know, material thing that can occupy some space here. So my interest among all those characteristics is the last point. Yeah, what is exclusive. Or for example, someone goes to a bookshop. He says, I want Al-Mizan. Please give me a series of Al-Mizan. 20 volumes in Arabic, for example. He says, I have a series of books exactly the same size. 20 volumes in Arabic, very nicely printed. And if you look, you know, it occupies the same space. So for example, I mean, if you want to fill your bookshelf, can do the job for you. If you need, you know, something weighty, so you can use it as weight. So everything is like Al-Mizan, just the content is different. Paper is the same, ink is the same, binding is the same. Just the content is, you say, this is not just the content, this is everything for me. Because I have no interest in, you know, binding and paper and ink. My interest is the content. So although those common points are there, but what is making me interested in Al-Mizan is what makes Al-Mizan different from another book. Not what is common between Al-Mizan and other books or other materials. Okay? So, what makes Allah interested in creating human beings is what? Why Allah created us? He could have created more, you know, horses or cows or dogs. Why he created human beings? Because of something which is special in us. The same is with us. What type of life we should have? The life which is special for us, not life which is shared by animals. And then what is, you know, ironic here is that if animals have animal life, we don't condemn them. Because that is the maximum that they can have. But if a human being is content with having animal life, then we condemn human beings. Yeah? Because that is not what we wanted from you. That's not what we expect. So when it comes to aim of creation or to our aim in our life, because these are two sides of the same coin. Why Allah has created us? To have human life. What type of life you should have? Human life. So these are two sides of the same coin. Aim of creation and aim of us in our life, they should match. Yeah? So if someone doesn't want to speak, you know, the language of religion, okay, you don't need to talk about God, but you can say, okay, we should have human life. What is human life? What have you done to grow your humanity? What type of pleasure you are enjoying in your life, which is not animal pleasure, which is not material pleasure? What type of pleasure have you experienced in your life? Have you ever enjoyed pleasure of feeding a hungry person? Have you ever enjoyed the pleasure of giving dress to someone who doesn't have dress? These are human pleasures. But if you have always enjoyed pleasure of, you know, food and, you know, drink and, I don't know, anything which is physical, then this is not human life. Okay. So, now let us go back to our argument. The first premise is that human beings by nature are after their perfection. The second thing is that perfection for human beings lies in growing, developing their humanity. And that is to follow rational approach to life, to act rational, to live rational. Okay? Because this is exclusive to us. If we just go after instincts or emotions, this is not enough. Now, if you want to have a rational life, what should you choose when you have choices? In other words, we have freedom. We use our free will to choose what type of choice we should make so that our life becomes human life, so that I grow in my humanity, so that I seek perfection in humanity. What type of choices I should make? For sure, my choices must be directed and guided by atom, by intellect. Who can make intellectual or rational or logical choice? It's a very important question. In any issue in your life, when you want to make a choice, you have to make rational choice, okay? Because this is our humanity. Okay, what choice is rational? There are many, many things to mention. In my book, Ethical Relativism, I have mentioned maybe about 15, 16 points to consider. But here we make it very simple. What makes a choice rational? A choice to be rational at least needs to be informed. You have to have informed decision. What does it mean? It means that your decision must be based on proper understanding, on knowledge. What type of life is human? The life in which you follow rational choices. And what are rational choices? The choices which are informed, the choices which are based on knowledge, on proper understanding. Because without proper understanding, you cannot make proper choice. If you want to choose, for example, a discipline for study, if you want to choose something for business, if you want to marry, if you want to travel, anything you want to be able to make proper decision, you need to know. Okay, if we human beings want to know those ideas that can help us in making proper decision for our life, we should be at least aware of few fundamental issues. What is my origin? Where have I come from? It's very important. If someone has created me, then this is one scenario. If I am here just because of a blind, you know, incident, that's another scenario. Yeah? If you are asked to be in a place, it's very much different from just, you know, you were passing by and you were there. It's very much different. When someone has invited you or has brought you somewhere, you ask him, why you have invited me, what I'm supposed to do. But if you by chance have gone somewhere, then you don't ask what is the purpose. Yeah? Chance, accident doesn't need purpose. So, first of all, we should know what is our origin, why we have come here. Has someone brought us here or not? Was that the one that brought us here intelligent or not? If he was intelligent, why he brought us here? Why? What he expects from us? We have to be able to answer all these questions. Then, what is my future? What can I achieve? What type of options I have? If I go to the right direction or wrong direction, what is going to happen? If I go upward, what is happening? If I go downward, what is happening? If I make moral choices, what is going to happen? If I make immoral choices, what is going to happen? So, we should know all these things. We should know our future, and we should know what our actions can bear on future. So, origin, future, and also what we are supposed to do at the present. These are important things that we have to find answer. Otherwise, we cannot make proper decisions. If you are put in a room, imagine they close your eyes, okay? They close your eyes, and then they take you and put you in a room. You open your eyes. If you don't know who has brought you, why they have brought you, where is this place, and what you are supposed to do, you cannot make a rational decision. If you want to make a rational decision, first try to find out who brought you here, why he brought you here, what is this place for, what can you do here, what are outside waiting for you. Yeah? So you should quickly find these answers. Not that, you know, when they close your eyes and they put you in a room, then you see a gadget that I start playing with that gadget. First, find answer for your most important question. Don't say, oh, let us not think about these issues. So, in order to have human life, we should have rational choices, we should make rational choices, and in order to make rational choices, we should have information, proper understanding about few fundamental questions, like our origin, our present situation, our future, and what impact our present actions can have on future. You know, of course, we are making rational argument, but just as a reference, I mentioned hadith, but this hadith is based on rationality. أمير المؤمنين عليه السلام سيد رحم الله بعد عرفة من عين وفي عين وإلى عين. May Allah's mercy be upon the one. Or it can be a statement, Allah's mercy has been on the one. You can take it as a dua or as a statement. On the one who knows من عين, where is he from? وفي عين, where is he now? Where is he heading? Okay? This is why in the book Self-Knowledge I have 3 chapters. Origin, present, future. In the book Self-Knowledge. So, we have to find out these important questions answered. So, now let us go back to the first issue. Our issue was why you need to study religion. Now the answer is very clear. Because it's by studying religion that you can find proper answers to these questions. I'm not saying you have to be religious or not. As we said before, at this time, our concern is not whether you have to be religious or not, whether religion is true or not. We are just saying why we should study religion. Okay? So, I repeat again, for us, human beings, it's natural to be after our perfection. To some extent, this exists even in animals and plants. They all try to become better, or at least to preserve their life. To be able to grow in our perfection, to become more perfect, we should make rational choices. To be able to make rational choices, we should have information about our origin, our future, and what we are supposed to do at the present. And religion is giving us answer to these fundamental questions. If you don't like the answers given by religion, still you have to study religion. Yeah? Either you like religion or not, you have to study religion. You can study and say, okay, I am not convinced, but at least you have to study properly. So, to ignore totally religion and religious claims is not rational. To ignore. To say, I don't want to study, I don't bother about religion, this is not rational. You have to study religion so much so that you become certain that either it is true or false, or this religion or that religion, which one is the best? You have to come to certainty. And if you don't come to certainty, I don't say there will be punishment for you, for example, in the hereafter. Although there could be, if you know, someone doesn't study. But at the moment, we are not using religious language. Yeah? So I'm using rational language. I say, if you don't study, and there is truth in religion, then you will be blamed by all rational beings. And any harm that you cause for yourself and other people, you will be responsible. Okay? Because if someone doesn't obey rules of intellect, then he would be blamed by rational people. He would be responsible. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran refers to some people who are just satisfied by having animal pleasure, animal life. For example, Allah says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يتمتعون ويأكلون كما تأكل الأنعام. They just enjoy and eat like animals. So this is the highest thing in their life, to enjoy pleasure of food and drink and, I don't know, nice, you know, bed, nice, you know, car, and all these things, just at this level. Of course, we don't blame animals if they have this level, because this is the maximum they can have, yeah? But we blame human beings. So we are not, you know, insulting animals. We are not, you know, condemning animals. We are just saying to a human being who is satisfied with this level, we say that you have underestimated the greatness of humanity. You have insulted yourself. You have humiliated yourself by being in this level. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَرْهُمْ يَأْكُلُوا وَيْتَمَتَّعُوا وَيُلْهِهِمُ الْأَمَلُ فَسَوْفَ يَعْلَمُونَ. Leave them. Eat and enjoy. And being deceived and preoccupied by their desires, which are not realistic, soon they will realize what was the truth. So this is another explanation why we should inquire what was it. So we have mentioned three arguments, two in lesson two and the third in lesson three. In lesson four, we study the answer given or the solution offered by religion for understanding the most important questions. I mentioned something in the introduction of the lesson, and then inshallah we will continue next session. This lesson four, starts with distinguishing between four types of knowledge, four types of understanding, four types of ma'rifah. Sometimes we know through our senses, through our perception. Perception means the knowledge is coming through the senses that we have, by hearing, watching, tasting, seeing, smelling. Of course, this can be something that is based on one perception, or there can be a chain of perceptions, and then by using, you know, our reason, we come to a scientific, for example, rule, a scientific idea. So it can be a chain. It's not something simple. Sometimes, you know, we have a scientific idea which is based on 1 million times of testing something. So it's not that everything is just one incident. But in any case, one type of knowledge that we have comes through perception. And there are actually things that we almost all the time, I'm saying almost because there can be exception, but almost all the time we know them only through perceptions. For example, if you want to understand, if you want to have knowledge of the taste of fig, tin, or olive, there is no other way other than tasting. Yeah? If you are the greatest philosopher of the world, by philosophical arguments, you cannot understand the taste of the olive and fig and then distinguish between them. Yeah? Or by, for example, using religious texts, you cannot understand the taste of the fig. Or if you are a great arif and mystic and you have, you know, intuitions and, you know, mystical findings, you don't find, normally, I said almost all the time, maybe exceptionally if someone is very, very high, you know, can have this type of thing through some ilm huzuri, if someone has, you know, somehow encompassed the whole world. But for people, even for, you know, for Afad, this doesn't happen. Maybe for Maksumi. This is why philosophers say, there's a rule in, you know, my Muslim philosophers, they say, "Man adraka hissan, faqad faqada ilma." Whoever lacks one of the senses, he has missed one type of knowledge. Because there are some types of knowledge that can only be achieved through senses. Okay? If someone has never been able to see, okay, all his life, he or she was blind. So he cannot understand what is green, what is red, what is yellow. No matter how much you explain, he cannot understand. He cannot have that experience. Okay, so there is one type of knowledge that we have which comes through senses or perception. There are many, many discussions in philosophy about reliability or validity of this type of knowledge, but for sure, this is something that part of our knowledge comes from this. When you were coming to this class today. If you didn't have, you know, used your senses, you couldn't have come here. So the fact that you have managed to come from your house here shows that there is a reliability in your senses. Yeah? Okay. The second type of understanding comes through intellect, through reason. For example, what we learn in mathematics is not through senses, it's through intellect. What we learn in mathematics, what we learn in physics, sorry, in philosophy, what we learn in logic, and some aspects of physics, which is, you know, philosophical, you know, they are also intellectual. But mathematics and philosophy and logic, these are intellectual. The third is the knowledge or the understanding that is based on a source which is reliable, which has authority. For example, we believe in revelation, and revelation tells or informs us about something. Or I believe this person is an honest person and he informs me about something. Please be careful. Don't say, okay, when he is informing about something, so it is the same as the hearing. Are you here? If someone says, when you believe in something that someone has told you, it is because you have used your hearing. No, this is a mistake. Hearing is something which is happening by my ear, but accepting what he says is not because of hearing. Because many times I hear something and I don't accept. I can hear something from someone who is honest and I accept. I can hear the same voices, the same letters from someone who is not known to be honest and I don't accept. So here it's not a matter of using my hearing sense. It's a matter of trusting in that person as a person who is giving valid information to me. Okay? So sometimes we take our information from another source because it has been somehow established for us that we can trust. And sometimes our information is based on intuition, on shuhud, the fourth. And our ulama, when they say shuhud or intuition, of course, because you know, in ethics, in Western ethics, intuition is used in different ways. But when we say here intuition or shuhud, we mean immediate knowledge. What does it mean? It means a knowledge which is not coming through anything between you and that knowledge. So it's not coming through your ears or eye, it's not coming through hearing someone else or reading someone else's information. It's not even coming through putting intellectual premises together and coming to a conclusion. There is no argument involved. There is nothing in between. You have immediate knowledge, the shuhud. Like what? Like what sometimes an Aref, a mystic, or Gnostic, you know, some people translate Gnostic, you know. So a mystic or Gnostic or Aref finds in his mystical experience. Okay? He can, for example, see what is happening in another place, not by his eyes. It's not eyes, because it's not in front of his eyes. It's not by hearing. He is seeing the truth by his heart.
Yes. That is the same as gut instinct.
Pardon?
Gut instinct.
It's different from instinct. You know, sometimes you have a feeling or you have guessing, but it's not in knowledge. But for some people, there is knowledge, and it's even stronger than what you know other people see. Yeah. Of course, here there is a problem. In the books on philosophy of religions, you know, when you study the discussion that they have about mystical experience, they make a distinction between the experience and the interpretation. Sometimes people think that they have mystical experience and reality is an illusion. Okay? Many times illusion. Sometimes it's really a mystical experience, but when they want to interpret, they make a mistake. So there are two problems. Sometimes someone has a mental problem, for example, and thinks that he has seen something, but it's just illusion. Okay? Sometimes, no. He has really experienced something, but when he wants to put it into words, when he wants to use concept to conceptualize that, when he wants to interpret, he makes mistakes. Some orafa, sometimes they have made false claims. It's not necessary because they are liars or they had illusion. It can be because they were not able to interpret. To be able to interpret needs knowledge. Let me give you an example. Once a person had a very special experience that when he was going to the shrine of Imam Ali alayhi salam in Najaf, he used to see everyone as animal. We have other cases that, for example, some people have seen some people as animals, some people as human beings. Okay? So I know a case that was experiencing this. Or, you know, Imam Zain al-Abidin, for example, you know, showed that person, you know, how some people who were doing Hajj, some of them were human beings, some were not. You know, the story of Ma Aksarat Tajij wa Adal al Hajij. But this person was seeing everyone as animal. Then, one of ulama told him, this shows that you have a problem. You don't match those people. But it's not because you are good. So you have understood that you are different from them, but because of your ego, you see them as animals. But in reality, you are the one who is bad one. You understand? So if a bad person is taken to a gathering of very pious people, he may feel that he's different, but he will think that he is better than them. Yeah? Once a lady came to me and said, you know, she had in her dream very bad images of the in-laws of her daughter. They are very bad in the dream. So, as a possibility and also for reconciliation, so I said, maybe your mentalities are different. And this is why you see them in ugly face. Not necessarily they are very bad people, but you are two different types of personalities. It's possible, because it's one interpretation. So it's not that everything you see in your dream is exactly reflecting the truth. There is something, but you know, how to interpret is different. Anyway, people may have some intuitive knowledge or mystical knowledge or immediate knowledge, But this doesn't necessarily mean that their interpretation is valid. Okay? So we have four types of knowledge or understanding or collecting, you know, our information. One is through senses and perception and experiences, which are physical. One is through intellect. One is by relying on an authority or taking from a source. And finally, by intuition or immediate understanding. Based on these four, people may have different types of worldview. Some people's worldview is just based on perception. Okay? They say we believe only in those things that we see or hear or touch. We don't believe in God. Why? Because we can never see God by our eyes. We can never even shake hands with God. Okay? I have never seen God in my lap. So I don't believe in God. Yeah? Because their worldview is limited to this. In Barakat, you know, it should be mentioned to these people that we are very, very happy that you cannot see God. Why? Because God which can be seen is not God. So I'm very happy that alhamdulillah you cannot see God, you cannot shake hands with God, because such God is not useful for us. Yeah? So this is your problem, it's not a problem with God. It's a perfection of God that cannot be, you know, confined and limited to your perception. Some people, they have rational, intellectual worldview based on rational reasoning, like philosophers. Some people have their worldview based on what they have received from the source. Of course, if that source validity is proved by reason, then it goes back to the previous one. But if that source validity is not proved by reason, then this is a separate thing. It's not intellectual. And some people have their worldview based on mystical experiences, sometimes of themselves, sometimes of other person. For example, they say, for example, Buddha in his experiences, you know, found the world to be like this. So he found that people, for example, should improve by doing this. This is the nature of human life, the pain, suffering, all these things. So their worldview is based on someone's experience. So there are four different types of worldview, and they can also sometimes be synthetic, in the sense that partly, for example, taken from one source and partly from the other source.
وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.